getting all kinds of pictures and videos of what's going on. Some of you might know that my dad likes to play the accordion, but you can't exactly take an accordion with you as a carry-on. I don't think it'll actually fit there. My brother, Kelly, was on the ball, and so I think he found someone maybe at work that had an accordion, and so my dad's playing his board accordion, and then my nieces are really enjoying that. And yeah, that's good. They're enjoying themselves. You know, I want to give you guys an update. Last week, I mentioned how I got on the weight scale in my bathroom to see how I had done over the Christmas season, and it just said E. And some of you gave some really helpful suggestions of what that E might have meant. I think it was Chris that just meant exercise, right? My scale was just, you don't need to know the weight, just exercise. But I put some new batteries in the scale this week, and I actually prefer what the E said versus the versus that number that I see there. So yeah, the E did mean exercise for sure. But you know, I thought you might want to know that. The other thing that I want to do is just make a quick correction on something that I shared earlier before Christmas. In one of the sermons that I was talking on the rescue story, I made this statement about Joseph, that Joseph hadn't heard a prophetic word, or I didn't believe that Joseph had personally heard a prophetic word from the Lord. And so when he was, when they took Jesus to the temple and they were hearing from Simeon and Anna, that was a blessing and encouragement to him, and it certainly was. But I was reminded, that he had a visitation from an angel in a dream, right? And of course, that was when the angel had said that, you don't have to be afraid, because here's this girl who is his fiance. She becomes pregnant, and what is everyone going to think? What is everyone going to think about Joseph, right? And so the angel is telling him, you don't have to be afraid. It's okay. This child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so he knew it was okay to go ahead and marry her. And so I just wanted to correct myself. And hopefully hopefully I get it right from now on. I won't always get it right. But, even if we don't get it right, that's okay. We just acknowledge that we didn't get things quite right. And the Lord helps us come back into line. Before we get into God's word this morning, let's go ahead and pray. And just ask the Holy Spirit to help me as I speak with you this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're in this place. We thank you that you're moving and that you're speaking to us. We thank you for the word that you've given me. And so as I share it this morning, I declare utterance right now that the deposit that's in my spirit comes out and it flows into the lives of everyone who has come here with ears open and hearts open, ready to hear your words. We thank you that we receive it with joy, that it bears fruit in our lives. In your name, amen. So one of the things that I've noticed in life is that events that took place long ago sometimes seem like they happen more frequently. Can anyone else identify with this? When I had the opportunity to spend some time with some friends of ours in Alberta when we were there over the Christmas break, and I hadn't seen Jared and Danelle. I hadn't seen Danelle, my friend's wife, for about 10 years. A couple of times I've popped into Calgary, I've had the chance to have lunch with Jared. But we're talking about things just like they happened yesterday. But it's actually stuff that's happened like 10 years ago or 12 years ago. Stories about when our children were young. And an interesting phenomenon that I've noticed, especially when I'm talking with my parents about things, this isn't going to get any better. In fact, this is something that might increase, right? Because my mom, she'd be okay with me saying this, but she often says, well, this is the way it is, or this just happened. And we're like, Mom, that was like 15 years ago. That was 18 years ago, or we haven't had that for 10 years or whatever, right? And so that's just kind of the way life is. Maybe when you get a little bit older, the years just start to move together, and some things just stick out in your mind. And so 2010, some of you might remember 2010 like it was yesterday. How many of you can remember 2010 and what was going on in your life pretty clearly in 2010? Josh, you're kind of an old soul, though. It wasn't yesterday, though. It was 10 years ago. And a decade is a long time. 10 years is a long time. A lot has changed in our lives. A lot has changed in our world in 10 years, hasn't it? And the thing with change is, it can be exciting, but it can also be intimidating. And new things can happen. New things can come in our lives. Challenges, or the world changes, and we have to face things a different way. Or perhaps we have to change how we live our lives a little bit to accommodate some of those changes. And it's human nature, I think, to have maybe fear or doubts or misgivings sometimes about change. Because typically, we're more okay with what we know and what we understand fully, right? And it's comfortable, and we know it, and we know how this thing works. And so when change comes, there's always an adjustment period. And I think it's interesting for us as Christians, because our lives often go against the flow of society. First of all, we serve and love a God that never changes, right? The Bible tells us that I'm the same yesterday and today and forever, and I'm the Lord God, and I do not change. And yet our world is rapidly changing. Our world is changing in front of our eyes, and especially when we look back to 10 years ago. And so we serve a God who does not change, and we're called to be His ambassadors here on the earth, right? And we have a role to play here on the earth, but He doesn't change. His message is always current. His message is always relevant. And so the challenge we face is representing an eternal, unchanging God in a world that is changing rapidly before our eyes. And Jesus is talking about this, the role that we play in the earth, and our role as to counteract the change and be ambassadors for Jesus. He's talking about this earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, the verses that we were just sharing with the Lord's Prayer, and that starts in Matthew 5. So we're going to go ahead and pick up in Matthew 5:13, and Jesus is saying this to the disciples: "Your lives are like salt among the people, but if you, like salt, become bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless salt is good for nothing and will be thrown out and trampled on by others. Your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them, and then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven." How many of you guys remember that song that we used to sing if you were in Sunday school? "Let your little light shine," you know, and that was always a favorite of mine. And you know, you could shrink if you're not into the Word, and you can grow. And you remember that song, but it was always, from a young age we've been taught and reminded as Christians that we are lights. We have the light of Jesus inside of us, and we're called to shine. We're called to make a difference. We're called to be an influence in the world that we live. One of the ways that the world has changed, and I was kind of chuckling about this as I thought about it, is 10 years ago, there was no such thing as a career as a social media influencer or an influencer. Has anyone else heard this term, an influencer? Maybe some of you have. You know, but nowadays, you can hear about a person, and it's obvious that they're a celebrity, and you're like, well, I don't recall seeing them in any movies, and I don't think they make music. Well, what are they? They're someone who makes a living, and they're actually famous just by producing content online, or maybe on YouTube, or posting on social media, and they're a social media influencer, or an influencer, and they can make a lot of money. Some of them do really well. That's probably not even yet a career option. I'm pretty sure if my daughters are in high school, go to their local guidance counselor, I'm hoping they're not going to present the option of a social media influencer as like a viable career, but some people do it. Well, Christians are the original influencers. We were called 2,000 years ago to be influencers, and not just in social media, but all areas of our lives, because we're salt and light. So the lives that we live, the people that we rub shoulders with, it should speak something. It should change something. We should have influence on those around us, and influence for good, right? So someone else ever says, well, I'm an influencer, you can say, me too. I'm also an influencer. And then you'll give an opportunity to share the gospel, or even just share a little bit of light and a little bit of the love of God with them. And so it's our mandate, it's our job to cause the light of the gospel to shine in the world, even when times are changing, and especially, I think, when times are changing. What I'm going to really talk about today, this is going to be a little bit different for us, but I'm going to talk about some of the ways the world has changed in the last 10 years, some of the ways that the world has changed in the last decade. Right now, I'm reading a book by a gentleman called Nelson Nash, and he's passed away now, but he's a businessman, a Christian businessman, and he keeps on making the statement in this book. He says, if you know what is really happening, then you'll know what to do. If you know what is really happening, you'll know what to do. Does that not sound familiar with what Fallon was sharing in a prophetic word just a few minutes ago? Because we have the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit that helps us know what is really happening. And so the Holy Spirit helps us know what to do. And Mr. Nash is making this statement in regards to business and finance, but I think it's something that actually has application in all areas of our lives. And he would agree with that. He kind of infers that in his book. If you know what is really happening, then you know what to do. And so thank the Lord we have the Holy Spirit to help us understand how is our world changing. Why is our world changing? But I think it's important for us as influencers, as salt and light, to have an understanding and to have some insight and have some realization of how our world is changing, because then we'll know what to do. If we're called to influence, then we're called to do something and we're called to be something, but we need to know how our world is changing. And so that's a little bit what we're going to talk about. In 1 Chronicles 12, this is 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 23, David is assembling some mighty men for battle. And so I'm just going to go ahead and read these verses. Starting in verse 23, these are the numbers of men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, as the Lord had said. So from Judah, carrying a shield and a spear, 6,800 men. From Simeon, warriors ready for battle, 7,100. From Levi, 4,600, including other people. Verse 29, from Benjamin, Saul's tribe, 3,000 men, most who had remained loyal to Saul's house until then. From Ephraim, brave warriors, famous in their own clans, 20,800 men. From the half-tribe of Manasseh, designated by name to come and make David king, 18,000. Pay attention to verse 32. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all the relatives under their command. So this list includes tens of thousands of men who were, you know, heavily armed with sword and shield and spear, and they're brave, and they're actually famous for their bravery. And then we have these men of Issachar, and it's not a mistake that they're listed here. That David knew the value of men who understood the times and knew what to do. So these are men of wisdom. These were men of perception that were not just focused on military might, but they were focused on strategy and tactics and looking into situations and understanding what to do. And so I believe it's not a mistake at all that they're listed here. And as Christians, if we're salt and light, if we're influencers, we need to know what to do. We need to understand the times and know what to do. And so that's why we're going to talk about some of the ways that the world has changed. I believe if we understand the times, that'll help us stay relevant. Now, here's the thing with the gospel. Is the gospel ever not relevant? It isn't. The love of God and the gospel of Jesus is always relevant in every generation, in every age, to every nation, to every personality type, to every generation. The gospel is always relevant, but sometimes as Christians, it's possible for us to be not so relevant. It's even possible for us to be relevant. Why is that? Well, sometimes I think some of us have this attitude, maybe not intentionally, I mean, we're not processing it this way, but we're like, you know, I serve a God who does not change, and so it's okay for me not to change either. You know, and the Lord says he's the same in yesterday and today and forever, so you know, I'll just kind of stay where I'm at. And the Lord is asking us, I believe, that we need to change, that we need to adapt. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. But if we're going to be relevant, and if we're going to continue to carry the message of the gospel, which is relevant, we absolutely need to make changes. There's things that he's going to call us to make changes on in our lives so that we're relevant, so that we're able to effectively share the gospel and the love of Jesus with those around us. Relevance doesn't necessarily mean agreeing with everything that's happening. This is an important distinction to make. Relevance doesn't necessarily mean agreeing with everything that's happening in the world around us, but it does mean understanding it, I believe. Understanding perhaps why that change is taking place. That will help us stay relevant and share the gospel in such a way that people receive it. And so we're gonna talk about understanding the times. Some of the things that I'm gonna share with you this morning are the things that the Lord has been speaking to me through an author and a pastor named Kerry Newhoff. And he pastors a church, Connection Church, in Ontario. I'm not sure exactly where in Ontario. But he has long form podcasts, which I've listened to. And he writes a lot of blog posts, and he's active on social media, and he's always stirring people. And there's often, you know, he's a thought leader, and so he's writing lots about Christian leadership and some of the changes that we're seeing in society. And so the Lord's been using him to speak to me and help me understand some of these things. Sometimes, you know, we kind of understand things a little bit, maybe a little bit of perception, and then we just hear a statement or read an article from someone else who the Lord has spoken to, and it kind of crystallizes things for us, and we have a deeper understanding. And so I hope that'll maybe that helps, or maybe that will help you, or maybe that will happen a little bit for you this morning as we talk about some of the ways that the world has changed. But I want to acknowledge that that he's been someone who's been speaking into my life in these areas. The other thing that I want to maybe just kind of like a caveat or mention this, that I know that we live in Swan River, and Swan River is not Winnipeg, and it's certainly not Toronto. And so things are, you know, a little bit different in Swan River. And so some of the things that we're going to talk about, the way the world has changed in the last 10 years, you know, I might share that, and you might think, well, that's not really me at all. And you know what? That's probably absolutely true. It might not be you, but it could be your neighbor. It could be the people that are around you, right? And our world does change. You know, I've heard people say, about Swan River, for example. Ah, it's just the same old Swan River. It never changed. Oh, it absolutely changes. If you're changing, the other people that are living here are changing. Our local economy is changing, the way we do business, the way we interact, the way we form and maintain and find new relationships is changing. You know, our world is changing, and you know, there might be a more familiarity perhaps when you're living in Swan River, when you're living, instead of living in a big center or somewhere else, but our world is changing, and so there is some truth here, and there's some things that are valuable for us to know. The first thing, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I actually touched on it a little bit last week, but I would say in general, there's a sense that the world is perhaps a little bit angrier or a little bit more polarized than it was 10 years ago. Has anyone else sensed this or recognized this? This issue of polarization, in years past and generations past, it was much more common for people who had different viewpoints on an issue to say, okay, well, I recognize I don't see it that way, but let's get together, let's discuss our differences, let's see if we can find some common ground. Nowadays, more and more, people aren't interested in finding common ground at all. They're just interested, like, if you're not agreeing with them, it's turn up the volume time. Well, maybe I'll say it again, and I'll say it louder, just so hopefully you'll get it. And this is a common thing in society, and I think one of the things that's happened with social media is people have recognized that anger, specifically anger or outrage, gets noticed. So the angrier you are, or the more bold, outrageous statement, you probably get more retweets and more likes, or you'll actually stir something up. And so there's people that are passionate about issues and have a real strong worldviews about certain things, and oftentimes it's expressed through anger, and because it's expressed that way, well then the reaction is really quite similar, right? And so we see this in our world, that people just really oftentimes become outraged and angry about anything that doesn't conform to their worldview. Colossians 3 tells us this in verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you say or do, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. Do you know that this doesn't just apply to us in real life, but also applies in our online interactions? Let everything you say or do, do it as a representative of Lord Jesus. And so one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to ask this question about each of the points I'm going to make. Well, what do we do about this? What can we do about this? And the first thing I would say, the most important thing I would say, is we always have to be walking in the love of God interactions. And when we're thinking of responding to something or thinking of posting something, we can ask ourselves, am I motivated by love? Am I walking in the love of God? And is this actually helpful? Is what I'm sharing or what I'm tempted to say actually helpful? I don't know how many times in my life, and even on the phone with text, where I've just, I kind of have a reaction to something that I've heard or seen. I'm typing something out, and then I kind of get this little meep, 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 like, uh-oh, backspace. I can't say that. Type something else out. No, can't say that either. That's totally okay. That's the Holy Spirit helping us walk in the love of God, right? And so am I walking in the love of God, and is what I'm sharing helpful? Do you know that when we walk in the love of God and we share that stuff that's helpful, that also really gets noticed? It's moving because it's countercultural. It's counter to what a lot of other people are doing. And so I encourage you, that's one way where we can come against that dynamic. Something else that has changed in the world in the last 10 years is that nothing important is actually happening, although you often think it is. Now, of course, we know that important things happen all the time. But if we're to believe our social media feeds or our Facebook feeds or news media, it's like breaking news is all the time, constantly happening throughout our days. There's always something happening that we need to get our eyes on, that we need to understand, that we need to give our focus to, that we need to give our attention to. And sometimes it's not news related. It might be fundraising for forest fires in Alberta or something like that. There's always something going on, but there's so much information, so much that we're receiving that is letting us know there's always something going on. And in previous generations, if something, the shock or outrage that you maybe encountered typically was associated with something really serious, really remarkable, really devastating that happened. I can remember, for example, 9/11. That was tremendous. That was just, what a day. And we all probably remember that day, right? I remember I went to work and I didn't do a lick of work. I just sat there with my employer and my employees, and we just watched a TV, and we just watched this whole situation unfold. Like that was really remarkable. Well, nowadays, there's always like something happening in another part of the world or something happening in our world. And oftentimes it's not near as serious as the media or social media would want us to believe. But how many of you know that the media is trying to get eyes in front of that article, or they want to get more listeners? The more websites we click on, the more articles that we click on, there's advertising revenue that comes through that. And so the whole thing is geared to get people to give your attention and your focus to what's going on. And how do you do that? Well, you make it seem like it's more important, right? You absolutely must click on this. You have to read this if you're going to get through your day. And so it's something that we need to be aware of. I don't believe that we were designed to process all the information that comes across our lives in a single day the way it does right now if we're holding one of these things in our hand. If we're getting all the notifications and everything's just coming at us, I don't believe that we were designed to live that way and be constantly interrupted with buzzing and notifications and flashing screens and things like that. So what can we do? What can we do about that sort of thing? I have some practical things later on, but I want to share this verse with you. This is Psalms 46:10. This is an important verse. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, I want you guys to know that some of the things that I'm sharing with you, these are tensions in my life. These are things that I'm working about. These are things that Candace and I discuss. What do we allow in our lives? How do we handle technology in our lives and with our children as well? These are real, and I don't have all the answers. We are a work in progress, just like you guys are probably, many of you are a work in progress in this area as well. But, you know, I've been guilty of saying, well, I'm just going to kind of unplug and chill for a bit, and what do? I whip out my phone and I start scrolling through Twitter. But God's word says, be still and know that I'm God. If we really want to unplug and get refreshed and chill, the best thing we can do, I think, is put that thing away and just spend some time meditating on God's word, letting Holy Spirit speak to us. That's really how we're going to get unplugged and refreshed while we're unplugged. And so I want to encourage you, just be strategic about the media that you're exposing yourself to. Be strategic about who you follow on social media. There's nothing wrong with unfollowing someone. And if you think you might get discovered that you unfollowed them, well, just mute them. They won't ever know that you muted them. You know, Candace, I kind of chuckled because she tells me some of the people that she's muted, probably not anyone in this room, but I'm like, okay. You know, and she, if you need to do that, that's totally okay. That's actually, you could be spirit-led, and the Lord will ask you to do some of those things, because I would say in every case, you don't need that negativity. You don't need some of those that drama and those interruptions that those people bring. That's totally okay to unfollow and be more strategic in what you're consuming. Another thing that has changed, or something that is just a trend, I think, in the last 10 years, is that meaningful thinking is declining and undigested opinion is on the rise. Meaningful thinking is declining and undigested opinion is on the rise. We live in an age where it's so easy for someone else's opinion to become our opinion, and their reaction to an issue can become our reaction, and we don't even think about it. We just kind of blindly follow along, and this is such an easy trap to fall into, and it's so easy to read a headline or to watch a 2-minute YouTube video or to see a status update on Facebook and Twitter or Instagram or whatever. It's so easy to do that and to think that you actually understand an issue. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but I've been in situations where we've been talking about maybe a social dynamic that's happening or a news event that's happening. I'm having a conversation with someone, and they're giving an opinion to me that is like totally not on fact. It's like wacky. But I know where they've got it from, you know, and they haven't taken the time to fully understand the issue. And then I've been the other person as well, where there's times where I've said things like, well, I think this and this and this, and like they're like, no, it's not like that actually at all. And I'm like, oh, I didn't take the time to fully understand that issue and have a real good idea of what's going on. The thing is, technology has enabled it's so easy to let the world know what you think, right? So technology has let people who have undigested opinions, who haven't taken the time to actually process or verify the authenticity of the truth of what they're believing, they can just go ahead and put it out there. And if you can sometimes get caught in picking up on that stuff and believing it. Proverbs 18:2 talks just about this very thing. Remember we said the Bible is always relevant? Check this out. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. The Bible is relevant. It understands that this was happening in various ways thousands of years ago. But here's the counterpoint. Here's the way that we can act. This is Proverbs 4:5-8. Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you embrace wisdom, she'll make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. Wisdom is there for the taking. It's there for the asking, right? James 1:5 tells us it's there. God's wisdom is right there for us. And so we don't have to have undigested opinions. We can say, Lord, with this information that's crossing in front of my life, and this information that's being brought to my mind, show me good judgment. Give me the mind of Christ. Give me wisdom to sort through these things and have a godly understanding so I'm representing your heart and your viewpoint and honestly, a godly worldview on what's happening in my world. Amen? What else has changed? Well, technology can be wonderful, but as a society and as a culture, we've never been more distracted. This is really true. And I enjoy technology in our home. If you're anything like our family, you probably got some gifts over the Christmas season, or you may have gotten one gift that was like a tech gift, right? Our kids got things like wireless earbuds, or one of my nieces got a new kind of music player. I mean, there's all kinds of neat things that can happen. I was in my brother-in-law's home, and he's got one of those Nest thermostats. They've been out for quite some time. Well, we have a thermostat like that I enjoy. And whatever. Is it a must-have to have a Wi-Fi-enabled thermostat? No, it's not a must-have, but it's a nice thing to be in Calgary and check out, like, oh, it's 20 and a half degrees in my house. Good to know that the geothermal is working properly. I can turn up the heat or turn it down. There's so many different things that technology does for us. And it's, we bought a new dishwasher last year and we had an option to buy a Wi-Fi enabled dishwasher. I still don't understand why I needed that. I'm not totally sure, but I know you can buy a Wi-Fi enabled fridge with a camera so that you can log on to your phone and that camera will like show you what's in your fridge. So if you're in the grocery store and you're like, do I need to buy eggs? You just like check it out and like, no, I already have eggs. They're right there. Like, isn't that silly? But it's like, there's so many different things that technology will do for us. And it can be wonderful, but sometimes it can be kind of a threat to our peace and our joy because it can be so distracting. And so our technology can follow us to school, and it can follow us to work, and it can follow us home. And we get, we talk about the fact we get notifications and messages are coming through, and our phones are beeping or buzzing. Or sometimes we're just drawn to spend time on the device. I haven't done this in a while, but I used to have kind of a vendetta against the beavers on our property in Solid Rock, in Pretty Valley. And this was several years ago. I think it was 2013 or 2014. I remember I was just getting bored. I wasn't seeing any beavers. And so I was like browsing Instagram. And I think I missed shooting a beaver because I was on my phone. I just kind of saw the ripples and then it kind of disappeared again. Like if I hadn't have been on my phone, I could have shot that beaver. But I was so distracted by my phone and think I need to entertain myself that I missed an opportunity. And, you probably have a story similar to that. So we use our phones in all areas, and increasingly what's happening is we're also using them for work, right? Now, again, this is probably not quite so prevalent in Swan River. I get that. I realize that. My brother-in-law, for example, Chris, who we're visiting over the holidays, he's changed positions in his company, and now he's spending like 80% of his time in home, just working from his home office. Before, he had to be in the office, but now through technology, he's actually able to be more effective and able to connect with people across his company easier just working from home, and that's more and more common. The issue is that now technology has followed us home, and now technology is not just following us to work, but now work is following us home through our technology. Right? You catch that? And so what is the consequence of that? Well, really what is the consequence is that for many of us, We kind of live in this gray zone where we're never really fully on, we're never really fully in the moment, we're never really focused, but we're never really fully off or fully unplugged or fully, you know, if we're not careful, we're not putting that thing away. It's always kind of, you know, right there beside us or on our nightstand, and maybe it's muted, but it'll still light up, and we're never on and we're never off. And that's one of the challenges. Well, that's one of the threats with the distraction of technology. Carrie Newhoff writes this, constant distraction is the enemy of intimacy and the cause of deep exhaustion. It's the enemy of deep work and clear, uninterrupted thinking. I'm going to read that again. Constant distraction is the enemy of intimacy and the cause of deep exhaustion. It's the enemy of deep work and clear, uninterrupted thinking. Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. This needs to be our guidebook. This needs to be our touchstone. This needs to be what we need to go back to. What am I going to do for the next? I don't have to go to bed for 45 minutes. What am I going to do with my time? Think of these verses. Think of what is lovely and pure. And you know, that is how we get the peace of God in our lives. That's how our rest is restored. That's how our spirit is renewed, not by having that screen in front of us. And again, I want you guys to understand, again, I want to remind you, I'm not railing against technology. You know, this is ironic, some of the very things that we're talking about today have only become an understanding and revelation for me because of technology. Because I use my computer or my phone to read a blog post that's going to help me in my spiritual walk, right? And so technology is not evil, but we have to understand the times so that we use it properly and so that we are being the influencers, not the influenced, right? So what can we do? I would encourage you, consume less, reflect more. Carrie Newhoff also says, and I think this is a neat statement, he says, content consumed without content processed is useless. And I think you could substitute just the word information. If content is a weird word for you, just say information consumed without information processed is useless. So if you're taking in all kinds of stuff and you're not having the time to think objectively about it, and you're not having the time to process it properly and weigh it against the truth of God's word, it's useless to you. In fact, I'm going to say it's worse than useless. It's going to drag you down. It's going to confuse you. It's going to muddle you. And so you want to slow things down and think clearly about what you're bringing into your life, clearly the voices that you're allowing, and that is really going to help you. One of the things that some of my family gets frustrated at with me is, I'll grab my phone again, the ringer's never turned on this thing. It just isn't. So oftentimes I get a phone call, and if you call me, oftentimes you're going to get my voicemail, and then I'll call you back because it might be 3 or 5 or 10 minutes, and I realize I miss a phone call. But I don't need to be interrupted by a ringer all day. Now, I understand for some of you, you do have to respond that quickly. Perhaps I know people that are on call, but consider maybe turning the ringer off. For many of us, we don't have to have the ringer on. Something I did last night, and it's kind of neat, we got this little moon on here. That's called Do Not Disturb. And now, texts and emails will still come through to my phone, but I won't get notified, and I don't need to get notified. If I'm laying in my bed, and it's 11 o'clock at night, I have a brother that lives 2 time zones away. So if I'm in bed at 11 o'clock at night, it's only 9 o'clock, and he's a little bit of a night owl, so he likes to send me like the most, they're not meaningless, but I don't need to know them at 11 o'clock at night. It'll be totally fine if I check out my phone at 11 o'clock the next morning and see the latest cute thing that his daughter did or whatever it is that he's gonna send me, right? But I haven't been so wise on that in the past, and so I'm getting smarter. I'm getting wiser. You don't have to put your phone in. You don't have to. If you put it in airplane mode, like, you're not going to get that stuff at all. It's okay. Just put it on Do Not Disturb. It's not going to bother you. It's still going to come through, and then when you're ready, you can be intentional. You can have intentionality about getting those messages or whatever it is that you need to receive, right? So just consider some of these things. This is not, again, there's no scriptures that guide us, but the Holy Spirit will tell us what's right for us. But maybe consider turning the ringer off. Maybe consider using Do Not Disturb a little bit more often. The other thing I was blessed, I talked about with our friends Jared and Danelle, how we met with them, and they're dear friends of ours from the time that we were in Medicine Hat. And I forget what it was, but I was like, and I'm going to show something on my phone, and then Danelle had something she wanted to show me, and she said, oh, I can't show you that. She says, I left my phone in the vehicle. But it wasn't like I forgot to left my phone in the vehicle. She was just saying, you know, I intentionally left my phone in the vehicle. I'm like, you know, I've only seen her once in 10 years. I'm glad that she respected the moment enough just to leave her phone in the vehicle so that we could visit and have real interactions instead of spending all the time on this. Because, you know, there was some extended family members, part of my sister-in-law's family that we spent Christmas with, and they actually spent Christmas with their phones. You know, and it's kind of a weird thing to be in a room of 8 people and 6 people for the last 10 minutes have done nothing but stare at this thing in front of your face, and you kind of wonder, like, why do you even bother getting together? You know, and so just pray about those things, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I'm not saying there's right or wrong, but there's something for you, and maybe there's changes that the Lord would have you do. You won't die if you don't have your phone. It's important to know, you won't die. You'll make it. Last change that I have, that's something that's been a little bit different over the last 10 years that we've seen, is people stay at home a lot more. Life comes to you. And, you know, everyone, again, this is not so much in Swan River, but everyone used to have to go to work. I think we're going to see this much more even over the next 10 years as data networks get more powerful and they can handle much more bandwidth and applications and software is developed to allow greater interaction in the workplace. Less and less people are going to go to work, and they're going to go, you know, they'll be able to stay at home and do their work. But life also comes to you. When we're in Medicine Hat, we use Skip the Dishes. And our friends say, oh, Skip the Dishes is a wonderful thing. And I mean, we've always had delivery, right? Food delivery has been around for a long time. But Uber Eats or Skip the Dishes or whatever, we don't have those in Swan River, unfortunately. But it's made it easier, hasn't it? Because you can just sit there on a couch and punch some numbers. You know, yesterday I was doing my sermon in here, and I've learned the beauty of ordering from Subway through my phone or through the computer. It's great. You don't have to stand there and pick everything. You can, like, take your time. Like, do I want more tomatoes or less tomatoes? And you do it all from your computer, and you walk into the Subway, and boom, it's just ready for you. You've already paid for it. And the people that are standing there in the lineup, like, how did he get his sub so fast? You're like, you know, you don't want to tell them. But there's a lot of convenience with some of these things. But everything can come to us with online ordering or whatever it is. For the last couple of years, I don't shop for razor blades anymore in Swan River. They just come to me. I have a subscription service, and I got these real nice razor blades delivered in the mail. There's all kinds of things that can come to us. It's not just products as well. It's experiences. Experiences are getting delivered to our home. So people are watching movies. There's less conferences that are getting attended. It's more common to just attend an online conference, you know, and to go in and view it remotely. Church as well. Church attendance. This has been something that has been affected by technology, because more and more people are willing to stay at home and just, you know, take in that live stream or that recording of that church service. And so this is something that's happening in our world, as more and more life is coming to us. I don't think it's really clear yet how this is going to affect society or what's going to happen, but it's something that we need to be aware of. We need to understand that this is happening. The neat thing is us coming together like we did this morning. I believe a live experience where we're meeting in person, and, you know, we can be with each other, clapping, raising our hands, worshiping the Lord, interacting with each other. That will always transcend just an online experience, experiencing church on your phone or your computer screen or however you're doing that. That's actually good news for us, right? That's good news for the kingdom of God, is that we have something to offer that's greater than what technology can bring. But we need to be aware of the fact that people tend to stay home a lot more. Isaiah, this is a funny verse actually. Isaiah 58:7 says, share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. I don't know, I've never noticed this verse before. I don't know, probably no one does this, right? Probably no one hides from relatives who need you. But let's say, do not hide from friends. Don't hide from people who need your help. It's easy to do, right? Like, we can fall into this trap. Instead, what are we supposed to do? Well, Hebrews 10 tells us, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards act of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. Some of the trends that we're experiencing, they've been going on for a long time. You know, Paul was writing these verses 2,000 years ago and said people are in more habit of not coming together and meeting. And we experience that, the same thing in our society. And so one of the things that we want to be aware of is, you know, be careful and watch yourself that you're not preferring isolation or preferring pulling away from each other, just being with yourself and with your family, because we were meant as believers to do life together. We were meant to meet with each other, encourage each other, build each other up, love on each other in person with real life interactions, real life conversations, human contact, all those things. This is very helpful and meaningful in building the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We're done here. I almost made 12 o'clock. Look at that. You know, some of the things that we've talked about, some of the changes. Of course, we know there's big changes happening in our world that are maybe even we would view as more serious than this or more dark than this. And I want to encourage you guys, the light that we have, the light of Jesus, is greater than the darkness. John 1, 4 to 5 says, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The darkness will not extinguish the light of Jesus. The darkness will not extinguish the love of God. The darkness will not extinguish the life that we have, the Spirit of God in us. But we have the opportunity to understand the times. Every time there's change, there comes an opportunity with that change to do something about it. And if you understand what's really happening, then you'll know what to do. If you understand what's really happening, then you'll know what to do. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You that You've helped us understand and some talk about some things, some ways, Lord, that our society has changed, some ways that things are different than they were 10 years ago, Lord. We thank You that we have the Holy Spirit that helps us understand what's happening, so know what to do, so we'll know what to do. It's the Holy Spirit. We rely on You for revelation and insight to navigate these realities, to navigate these changes. Holy Spirit, we welcome You into our lives to speak to us, reveal any areas where perhaps we have to make a tweak or an adjustment or establish a boundary or whatever it is that You're calling us to do, Lord, so that we're aware of what's going on, so that we know what to do. Lord, we thank You that You're with us. We thank You that the gospel is always relevant. We thank You that the gospel is always speaking. And by listening to You, Holy Spirit, we thank You that we can stay relevant and we can share Your light and Your love with a world that more than ever desperately needs it. So we thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done today. We thank You that Your presence has been here through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, it's been wonderful spending time with You this morning. We thank You for encouraging us as we go forward this week. May we go forward with joy and peace and the love of God, with intentionality to bless those around us with the light that's inside us. And we declare that this week, Lord, that we are the influencers in our world, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us at church at Solid Rock this morning. If there's anything in your life you'd like prayer for, we welcome you up. We'll pray with you. Beyond that, go Canada, go, right? All right, amen.